So I want to try and briefly, which means I'm skipping the first page of my notes, give you five words for this year, 2017. I told you last time I spoke that the Lord told me that chesed, loving kindness, is the word that he's given me personally for this year, for me to embrace his loving kindness in new measures. So all of these words are going to come back to word number one. The first word is prosperity. Everywhere we go, from the Feast of Trumpets and Rosh Hashanah last fall, the word has been that the Lord is prospering us. The Lord is bringing increase and multiplication in this year. That's going to look different for all of us. We need to not be afraid that the Lord is going to do what he said. The word prosper in Scripture is a command. So let's change your mindset. The Lord commanded us to prosper. He didn't suggest it. He commanded us to prosper. In Genesis 32, verse 9, Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your relatives and I will prosper you. See, when the Lord tells us to do something, it's usually because he wants to put us in a place where he can prosper us. So 31 years ago, a couple weeks ago, he told Casey and I to stay here instead of going back to our house in Tennessee, because he wants to do something here. And by the way, that's only 45 minutes for God, so he's doing it. The word that is prosper here is yatab. It's a primitive root Hebrew word that means to make well, to make happy, to make successful, or to make right. It means to be accepted, to make better, or to be content. You know, I prosper when I'm content. It means to find favor, to give, to be glad, or to make good, or to make sweet. In 3 John verse 2, John wrote, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. Is your soul content? See, we can prosper in all things if we allow the meaning of prosper to dwell deep in our soul. Obviously, John was Hebrew. He understood what the scripture meant. The Greek word that is used for prosper is euodo. It means to help on the road, that is, to succeed in reaching or to succeed in business affairs or to have a prosperous journey. Do you want a prosperous journey in your college educations? How is your soul? David commanded his soul to bless the Lord. You see, you can't be content if your soul is not content. You can't prosper if your soul is not content. In Genesis 39, verse 3, talking about Joseph in Egypt, he says, Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. You remember the story of Joseph. He didn't have it so well. He didn't get to go to MCC. He didn't get to go to RIT. He didn't get to go to Finger Lakes. He got prison. But he kept his soul content in the Lord. See, that's what communion was about tonight. If I can keep my eyes on the cross, if I can keep my heart locked up in the Lord Jesus Christ, then my soul will be content, I will prosper, and he says that I will have health, and I will prosper as my soul is prospering. The word that's used here in Genesis 39:3 for prosper is salak. It again is a primary Hebrew word that means to advance or prosper. In other words, if I'm still doing the things I did 30 years ago, I'm probably not going to prosper. Both spiritually, because he's taken me more and deeper in his spirit, and physically in the earth. It means to succeed in reaching or to succeed in business affairs, and again, to have a prosperous journey. See, years ago, I determined that success or prosperity for me had a different meaning. This is what it means to me. Success and prosperity means that if my children's children's children, my oldest grandson is 10, my youngest turns 4 on Wednesday, so that fourth generation isn't born yet. If they love and serve the Lord, then I will have been prosperous. I will have succeeded. Do you see where it doesn't look at whether there's food in the cupboard or whether there's money in my bank account or whether I've got everything that the Smiths and the Joneses have? It has to do with whether he has first place in my heart. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but he came that we may have life and have it abundantly. The Lord this year is releasing abundance to his people. Are we ready to receive it? If you're not and you're still dealing with the poverty spirit, see me later. The Lord dealt with that on the cross. The poverty spirit is not of God. It is a counterfeit. It works with infirmity, fear, and religion to keep you bound from the promises of the Word of God. Our management of our prosperity reveals our heart. What I do with the things that the Lord prospers me in reveals whether my heart is his or whether it is still tied up in the things of the world. What I do with my time, what I do with my talents, what I do with his word, what I do with the generations that he's entrusted unto me determines whether or not my soul and my heart are prospering. See, the management of my prosperity reveals my heart to him. So what if he said to me, give the Bible your wife gave you as a Christmas present to someone in Vietnam. 30 years ago, I would have said, but God, they don't read English. Do you see how quickly our mind gets into the way of what he wants to do? Twenty-five years ago, we sent Japanese-English Bibles to my lab partner in graduate school's children there in Japan so they could learn English. Their mom taught them English from the Bible. What better way to... How is your soul? How is your prosperity? How is your heart? In Luke 12:15, Jesus said to them, watch out. You know, that when we see that in Scripture, we should be careful what comes next. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. In Luke 8, verses 8 through 14, it says, therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. Indeed, the axe is already laid to the root of the trees. So every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds were questioning Jesus, saying, then what shall we do? And he would answer and say to them, the man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And he who has food is to do likewise. And some tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to Jesus, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what you have been ordered to. Some soldiers were questioning Jesus, saying, and what about us? What shall we do? And he said to them, do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, but be content with your wages. John the Baptist gave good advice to those that came out to be baptized, how to deal with greed. Tonight we took communion from a place of letting go of the things that kept him from being Lord of all. If he quickens you to do something and you can't do it, ask him why you won't do it. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If he asks you to give a cup of cold water to someone who is thirsting, even though they look different, and you don't do it, ask him why. It's because your soul's not prospering. See, greed will always hinder walking in prosperity and abundance. Luke told us that we were to give and it would be given unto us, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But if I'm holding on to something, then I can't prosper. The first word is prosperity. The second word is humility. This is the message that I was going to deliver 2 weeks ago at the beginning of Shavuot, because this month is all about humility. And I thought, oh, this is a very timely time to speak about this. Matthew 23, verses 11 and 12, Jesus said, "But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." The more that you work on self-promotion, the more you will have to work to maintain your promotion. Let another brag about you and not yourself. The more you try to promote yourself, the more time you're going to have to spend keeping that arm up there so people see you. Jesus teaches us that the way down is the only way up. Humility will set you free. Jesus is my hero. He's my example. He humbled himself even to the point of taking the cross for us. The greatest humility is based upon intimacy and submission to the Father. The more intimate you are and the more submitted you are to Father, the more humble you become. Why? You can't come into his presence without humbling yourself. It's impossible to move into the presence of the Lord walking in proud and arrogant. You may come out like a piece of toast. You know, that's why the high priest had a cord around his ankle. They could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year. And if he did it wrong, that rope was there so they could pull him out and take his ashes away. It's in the scripture. John 5:19. "Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something that he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner.'" Do you want to do signs, wonders, and miracles? Humility. Because you get into the presence of the Lord and you see what he's doing. And then when you come out, he shows you the same thing you saw him doing. You see the blind beggar. You see the lame beggar. You see those that Jesus walked by because he never saw the Father stop by that one on that day. But he showed them to you. And then when you see them, you know that because you saw Father reach down and heal them, you can reach down with his authority and humbly heal them. See, if I want prosperity, I have to walk in humility. The two go hand in hand. In 2017, I suggest that you meditate on all five of these words, prosperity and humility. We're going to get to the others. Because they all are pathways for us to prosper and be in good health. The third word is honor. as we honor each other, the Lord will move us forward. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Romans chapter 12. When we were on our one-year assignment here in 1985, that was the scripture I quoted to myself driving into work every morning. Therefore, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But that's not the part we're going to talk about tonight. We're not going to talk about the motive or the redemptive gifts tonight, although I think I'm going to do a series on those. Not on the gifts, on the things that steal the gifts from you. See, Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Whenever I taught managers or leaders or shop floor people about teamwork, I used this passage of scripture. If you want to be successful, you have to learn to honor somebody above yourself. One of the greatest examples of pride is putting someone else down because you think you've put yourself up, but what you've done is you've set yourself up for the lightning of God. Honor is something that the Lord is asking the generations to do. You know what part of the issue in our country is right now? We cannot honor the one that He has put in office. Whether we like the politics or not, He has told us to honor those to whom honor is due. You can go on to read chapter 13 of Romans, and it talks about the governing authorities. And it also says to give honor to whom honor is due. If I want to prosper, I have to learn to honor others above myself. The fourth word is mercy. That is what chesed is most often translated as in Scripture. It means loving kindness, but many modern translations translate it as mercy. Yes, I score extremely low on the spiritual gifts survey for mercy. Of all of the 12 intercessory giftings, the only one I don't rake on is mercy. I can pray out of mercy, but it is not my gifting. If the Holy Spirit moves on me, then yes, I will be a mercy intercessor. Casey has an excellent teaching on those gifts of intercession. But mercy is a key word for this year. Ask God to have mercy on those who you have trouble forgiving. Since early last year and really the year before, the Lord has been moving through Dutch Sheets to talk about mercy. And last year he started talking about it as the new currency. Someone actually printed signs and coinage for Dutch that has coins that have mercy on them. They look like U.S. currency, but they have mercy on them. I wonder if they made them a real one. They look like gold coins. You can do that, you know. There's a believer in Australia, a very wealthy believer, who has made his own currency that is independent of any other currency of the earth. It's all based on gold. It's all got the family crest on it. I'm not suggesting that you go out and do that. Mercy. I have been spending a lot of time since the Feast of Trumpets last fall crying out for the Lord to have mercy on the United States of America. See, mercy is a currency that each of us has an unlimited supply of as long as we will spend it. If I keep it in my pocket, it's worthless. If I pour it out in intercession before the throne of grace, asking Him to have mercy on those who have wronged me, believe me, I've spent a lot of mercy there. On those who are doing wrong in His sight, instead of chastising them, instead of riling against them, instead of being paid by foreigners to go out and protest, cry out to God to have mercy on them. See, he's waiting for a tipping point. When a series of small events becomes so significant that he tips. Revelation says that he will tip the bowls when they're full. When we cry out to him for mercy, mercy, mercy. You don't have to be a mercy intercessor to ask the Lord to do exactly what he did for each of us. He had mercy on us and heard someone. It could have been a relative 4 or 5 generations ago that asked the Lord for mercy on their bloodline. And he said, Al sure does need it. I'm going to answer that prayer. Someone literally prayed me out of what I was into. Because I'd be dead decades ago if they hadn't. See, Father wants to release greater measures of mercy into the earth realm this year, and he can only do it one way. He has made us to be his voice in the earth. When we agree with heaven, Father, lavish your mercy upon Rochester. Lavish your mercy upon Albany and upon all of New York State. He can lavish far better than we've ever imagined. Yeah. The bowls in heaven aren't little tiny bowls. When he pours out his bowl, it covers continents. It covers planets. Are we crying out for mercy? Will we spend the mercy? In Jude verses 20 through 23, it says, But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Jesus on the cross is our example. Father, forgive. Father, have mercy on them, for they know not what they do. Someone took my Tootsie Roll. That's how trivial we are. Someone took my parking place. Someone's sitting in my pew, and they're still there. Ouch. Gotta love it. You have to be careful what you say. What goes in comes out freely. Mercy, 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 mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on our loved ones. Lord, have mercy on our leaders. Lord, have mercy on this nation. Lord, have mercy on this continent that you crafted with your hand. You know, if he pours out his mercy on this continent, awakening will break out. I'm believing him for an awakening that will bring a reformation. That it will reform North America in his image and likeness so that the nations of the earth become jealous and turn their heart home again to him. Remember I said at the beginning of the year that at Passover this year, I believe a great harvest is going to begin in the nations because of things that I've been reading and studying. Now we're starting to hear people prophesy that and reports of nations where the Lord is moving. And people are starting to come to the Lord in great numbers. Lord, have mercy. The fifth word is wisdom. Prosperity, humility, honor, mercy, and wisdom. See, the last four words help us to move supernaturally. In Proverbs 11:12, we read, "He who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding keeps silent." See, humility will help us maintain wisdom. If I can remain humble, I can walk in the revelation and the wisdom that the Lord's given me. I can stand in the face of the riling, and believe me, I heard lots of riling when I was a manager. I heard it from above. I heard it from below. You know, middle management's a terrible place to be. If I could have been a vintner, I could have made some of the best wine, because I had winers all around me. But if we can remain humble, the wisdom the Lord gives us when we're in his presence will allow us to speak life into situations where people who would never come into a place like this can receive a nugget of truth that may actually set them free. In Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 15, we read, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her." In Proverbs 8, verses 10 through 11, we read, "Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her." The Greek word that's translated 50 times in the New Testament as wisdom is Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A. It means wisdom, either higher or lower wisdom, worldly or spiritual wisdom. Two definitions for the word philosophy, which is what controls most of the world, are number one, the pursuit of wisdom. Philosophy is the pursuit of wisdom. And number two, philosophy is the discipline of love for wisdom. Most people don't even know that when they have this world philosophy or world mindset, that they are pursuing a love affair with something that is counter to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The profit motivation, the drive to be profitable, to prosper, is biblical. The profit motivation is a biblical motive. But we have to have passion to get wisdom. Scripture tells us that wisdom, that wealth without wisdom is worthless. Right? Wisdom is more precious than jewels. The Bible is a book of facts. This book, sitting on my desk, keeps about 30 square inches from getting dusty on my desk. When I put the facts in here, they don't do me any good until I have knowledge, which is the interpretation of those facts. Now I know that I can do certain things and my ground will produce more, or my business will increase more. But to just have that understanding of the facts isn't enough. I need wisdom. And that's the application of those facts in my daily life. The Bible is a book of facts, a book of knowledge. Some of us begin to understand it. We understand it more when we ask Holy Spirit to make it life to us. Once we have understanding, we can ask Holy Spirit to give us wisdom so we can apply it. Jim, I just heard that you're going to have a wisdom that's going to startle your field. They're not going to know what to do with the ideas, the inventions that the Lord puts on your mind for productivity. He's going to give you things in your time with him that you're just going to say, whoa. And then you're going to be in situations. I just see you out, not local, but out. I don't know where all you travel to. I know you travel. But he's going to give you things that's going to help them be productive in ways that they haven't even realized they can do before. And it's going to be an offering of thanks and praise for you the next time you're in the presence of the Lord. You're just going to start worshiping him for what he allowed you to do to help somebody else. I have to walk in wisdom. We all have to walk in wisdom. He's going to do things differently for each of us. But if I don't allow him to show me how to apply those facts to prosper me or my business or those who I work for, then I have stymied the flow of his spirit. In 2017, allow the Lord to mature you in these five words: prosperity, humility, honor, mercy, and wisdom. Ask him what it means for you. It will be different than for the person sitting in front or behind or next to you, because he wants to make this personal for each of us so that it's his presence flowing through us that allows us to prosper. Let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you that your word says that we should prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. So I ask now, Lord, that you will breathe afresh on my brothers and sisters. Lord, that you will deliver their soul from whatever is hindering them from prospering in the truth that Jesus came to set them free. Lord, I ask that you would prosper their bodies with the manifestation of the victory of your word, Jesus Christ. That he has returned to you victorious already, fulfilling your word that they are healed by his stripes. Lord, I ask that you would manifest mercy in our hearts. Lord, that the first words out of our mouth would not be a curse, but it would be a cry to you to have mercy on those who have wronged us, and to have great mercy on those that have blessed us, and to have even greater mercy on this nation so that your destiny will be fulfilled. Lord, I ask that you would keep us humble. Lord, that we would not exalt ourselves and find ourselves contending with you. That you would show us, Lord, how to lift up another, so that not only would we be walking in humility, but we would be walking in your concept of honoring those that are around us. Lord, that we would honor the gift that you've placed in our brother and our sister so that their gift would prosper and they would prosper with more of your presence. Lord, I ask that you would prosper us. Prosper us spiritually with more of you. Prosper us physically with your healing. Prosper us emotionally with your deliverance. Prosper us physically with the things that are necessary for us to be in the next place of your path to our destiny. Lord, prosper us with your presence in every intersection, every crossroad where we must make a decision this year. Quicken us, Lord, to be a people who love mercy and do justly and walk humbly with you, so that you can prosper us because you desire to bless us as your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. Have a blessed week. If you're interested in going on either missions trip, please see me.